Welcome to Peter's Podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. I'm looking out at the amazing woodlands of my new neighborhood, Saratoga Springs. I spent some time walking in the woods this morning with Wendy and Micah the dog. And autumn on the East Coast, autumn in many places, is a really evident piece of a cycle of nature as we've gone through the time of summer and time of things growing, and we're moving toward a time of a kind of an ending into the depths of the winter. So this is a transitional time, and perhaps that's why I was moved to this week in classes and just in my own musings to think about cycles. And one of the things that dawned on me was I've often talked about cycles when doing meditation, like the Granthi Bhadana that some of you've done, about how the nature of our existence is filled with cycles. And in Sanskrit, we talk about these as being beginning, sustaining, ending. And the Sanskrit names for those, Brahma, the beginner, the creator, Vishnu, the sustaining, the sustainer, and Rudra, a version of Shiva, or aspect of Shiva, the destruction. And that the nature of cycles is always that one cycle leads to the next cycle, so that the ending is always simply a beginning of something else. But I was moved this previous week, to ponder a little bit that our time, our life, is really dictated by time, that time is this thing that's very evident in our existence. And the seasons are an example of that. But that when we think about us as wholeness, as part of all of what is, this idea of time is really just a piece in this immense play. But the wholeness of the play is beyond time, beyond space even, beyond forms. It's simply everything. And in yoga, we consider that the root, the essence of everything is awareness, that an awareness is. So then our practice becomes finding this relationship with our own awareness, this relationship where we say something that I often use as a practice: I am one with that. And to be one with that implies also that that is me. That I am that is me. We are one. And to have that as a object of contemplation lets you start to be more practical about it, rather than constantly always thinking of myself as separate from other things, to take a moment to reverse that perspective and ponder, what does it mean that consciousness, wholeness, oneness is having this experience as me, right? So to get back to this notion of cycles, when there's only everything, there's also really only one cycle. And that one cycle is moving away from the wholeness of things and then back into that. So that the one cycle that we as humans are encountering is a birth, a beginning of the notion of I, where I is somehow distinct. And when one has that notion of I as distinct, certain of the yoga writings say that the entire universe emerges from that one notion. So we are born, right, as this I. We learn then to sustain ourselves. How do you survive? How does I survive? Right? And so we go through this whole course of growing up and learning things. And those of us who are, you know, listening to this teaching right now discovered along the way a path, this path of yoga or something related, meditation, some aspect of something, mindfulness, or however you came to this, there was this notion that along the way, I'm beyond just being born, I'm now trying to figure this all out. And in the figuring out of it all, I came upon the idea or the notion or the learning or the pathway of what am I? What is the universe? What is the relationship between me and the universe? How can I work with that to come to an understanding of what's going on here? Right? What is this craziness that I find myself in? Because really, honestly, it feels like craziness until you can get away, until you can find a way of framing that makes sense. And then when you find that way, the next thing that occurs in a yoga practice is a stilling of the sense of I, which goes by the name of vritti in the Yoga Sutras, right? To stop the, not just thinking, but literally everything that is the framework of you as an individual, right? The fluctuations in consciousness that are making you this separate wave in the ocean of what is. Can you pause that for long enough to have an experience of yourself as not that? Right? And when you have that experience, then you are suddenly back as oneness again, as consciousness again. And right now, our karma is such that we decide to come back, right? Again, there are yoga writings that say that could be it. You could say, you know, oh, right, I see what's going on. I'm imagining myself as different from what is, as having a uniqueness. I don't need to do that. I would choose just to be the oneness. And then you would awaken like from a dream, right? When we wake up in the morning and this entire world that we were experiencing in the dream suddenly is no longer, and we recognize it was a dream. So, I mean, that can be pretty highfalutin for many people, myself included. You know, sometimes I can have notions like this. Other times it seems very distant from my actual experiencing. But I think that it's worth considering from time to time this idea of we are on a path that included a beginning, that is in the sustaining phase, that we have the ending of when we do our meditation, when we have this calm, when we have this quiet, when we step outside of our normal way of being, our normal interaction with the vritti pauses, we have experience of not nothing, right? Not gone, but of no motivation, no cause and effect, no time for a moment, and to simply have being. And then as we come back into living, we're not on the same cycle anymore, but there's been a shift in what we are, who we sense ourselves as, so that we're now moving into the next cycle of this life, right? So it becomes a one beginning, middle, and ending with a lot of little eddies in it, a lot of little sub-cycles within it, right? So the song becomes more complex. It's not just a sine wave of a pure tone, but it becomes more of a symphony of experience. But still, the symphony has this overarching arc from beginning through the entirety to the conclusion. When we are in our own midst of those sub-cycles, they can be very consuming, right? We can get very caught up in them. And some of them seem extremely important because they bring with them emotion. We have a reaction to them. We have a desire for something. And when that desire doesn't get met, it feels painful. Right? We have a longing for something other than what's going on. And so part of understanding the cyclical nature of things is to remember that the smaller cycles have a beginning, a middle, and an ending. And that ending will lead to the next thing. And if we can trust that, you know, the cycles of life are all geared toward us coming to an understanding, coming to a realization of who I am, and that when I recognize that and allow for myself to not be so caught up in the individuality of it, but to go ahead and enjoy the individuality of it, but recognize myself as the wholeness, right? I am one with Brahman, one with the whole. That the more I can remember that, the more the little individual cycles within the living, within the big cycle, will just seem like steps along the way. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that roughly translates into anything that's happening, any action I take, any thinking about every action is essentially like an offering. I'm deciding to take the next step. That offering is Brahman. That the one who's offering it is Brahman. All of the components of it are Brahman. It's given by Brahman to Brahman, as Brahman. And then if you can remember that, if you can constantly remind yourself that that's what's at play, then you're in samadhi. You're in the transcendent state of understanding what is. We practice that in meditation, right? We practice stilling the mind, taking the necessary steps to find how to do that. And largely that's about how do you get your self to let go of the control of the story, right? How do you get the individual, the one that had the notion of I and has now built this remarkable tale around that, to say, yeah, that's all lovely. That's all a lovely story. Let's set that aside for, 20 minutes now, and simply let yourself merge back into a sense of one with everything else that is, one with the entirety of the universe. And when you let yourself do that, when you can allow yourself to not be in control, then suddenly there's a shift, there's an understanding, there's a recognition. Who am I? Right? I am not just this story. I'm not just this limitation. I'm not just these few years. I'm not exactly sure what I am when I come back and I'm looking at it through my limited mind, but I felt something when I did that. And that feeling now is still with me. Right? There's something that has opened up that I'm tapping, that my sense of who I am has enhanced. And that's who's now walking through the story. Right? There was this movie, The Matrix, many of you, I'm sure, saw it. Right? It's a beautiful spiritual notion, right? Like most movies that are popular, that are spiritual in their fundamental, they often devolve into some kind of war metaphor, right? The Star Wars has the same thing. There's this sense of this force that permeates everything, but it ends up being about a war. But in The Matrix, there's a description of this thing, right? Where one is engaged in this individual life, and then boom, the shift. It's much like awakening from a dream, right? So I hope that you can take some notions from that and allow them to percolate, right? You don't have to understand them or be able to like use them in a sentence or anything like that, but it's like a little nudge, toward opening up away from things that seem so certain. One of the trickiest parts of our three parts of practice isn't the doing, the purification, and, making sure I, show up and do my asana practice and, eat the right foods and stuff like that, or the taking study, doing trainings, all that stuff. One of the hardest parts is the final part of practice, the final third of practice. Not that they're a sequence, but to do this final component, which is to surrender to the universe, to allow for this notion of the universe has a structure, a plan, a pattern, a cycle in which our ability is built in. We have the capacity, each of us, to have the experience of ourselves as Brahman, as wholeness. That this dance of life isn't just a dead end cycle, right? Even if you include reincarnation, it's not that you reincarnate, the same thing happens over and over again, but that there is also built into us the ability to know who we are. And if you allow yourself to surrender into the experience beyond thinking about it, you taste that and it transforms you and you come back into living. And in living, you use your discernment. You use the part of your mind that is intelligence itself, right? Parsing, what is this? Yes, there's this experience, right? Does that mean now I'm beyond, I don't have to do anything, I don't have to take care of anybody, I don't need to do whatever? No, that doesn't play out well. That doesn't leave you treating life like a great offering, right? Instead, you still need to do all the things that on every plane that you're on make the most sense. So you act as someone with intelligence, you act as someone with discernment, you act as someone who uses justice, you act as someone who, you know, thinks outside of yourself. This summer I did a little translation, I made a little video illustrating one piece of the Bhagavad Gita. It was about a verse of it that was about this notion of offering, that when you take an action, it's an offering. And I translated the offering word, which for those of you who care about such things, the word is yajna, Y-A-J-N-A, yanya. But I translated it for this project, this little video that I made this summer, as selfless service. So you're like acting as though you're in service of your life, in service of the universe that you find in front of you, in service of those people that you are encountering, whether they're your loved ones or whether you can make a difference for them anyway, right? And that you're doing this selflessly, which means that you're not doing it for your own gain. And, you know, there's actually scientific research that says when you do work yourself, like when you're physically present doing work of charity, when you're doing something for people, when you're volunteering, for instance, that your health improves from doing that action, right? So there is a benefit from this, even on the physical, most mundane plane of your own health. But the gain in shifting your perspective is so much grander, right? When you can recognize that the actions that you take are, in essence, your gift to this universe of which you are a part, right? They're what you can do for the universe. And if you can take that, then there is no action, there is no moment, there is no response that you can have to something that isn't literally the most important thing in the universe in this moment. And it's why the tantrikas talk about anything can be the route to transcendence, to enlightenment, to right living, to finding the truth, sat, what truly is, that can be found by treating anything, everything, as a divine moment, as a pathway into understanding who am I, what is this. The verse in the Bhagavad Gita that talks about this, each component of the action being Brahman. I'll end on that verse. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmanya Brahmanahutam Brahmaevatenya Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhinam. Thank you for listening. Namaste. That's today's episode. Thanks a lot for listening to Peter's podcast. I hope that you find real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living through your practice. Please support me on Patreon, rate the podcast, and I'll see you next week. Namaste.